It's easy to think of rainbows and flowers as sweet and cute, delicate and charming, childlike symbols of play and fun. But they are much more powerful than that. Think of the flower power of the 60s peace movement, where flowers and rainbows and peace symbols were a proclamation of putting peace and beauty before war and violence and destruction. And now, although flower power is considered perhaps a little trite and cliche, the hippie movement claimed those flowers, opposite images of what was coming out of the Vietnam War, in a way that lifted people's spirits, invited them to smile, to notice the beauty, and feel the love possible when we honor our shared humanity. When someone hands you a flower with a smile, it is very difficult not to smile back. Rainbows have a similar effect. Colorful and vibrant, arching across the sky, bursting forth through the gray clouds of rain. And I don't know about you, but I have never been with a group of people when we've spotted a rainbow that hasn't collectively gasped and then oohed and aahed and then settled into that moment of silence to be in the wonder and awe in the presence of that beauty of physics, of light refracting and dispersing through water to make a stunning archway of color right before our very eyes. As many of us know, the rainbow has become a powerful and vital symbol of the LGBT movement. And in just shy of 2 weeks, on June 18th, this congregation will don its rainbow flags and scarves and stickers and t-shirts and tattoos and march in the Boise Pride Parade. I hope as many of you will participate as possible. I'm sad that I won't be able to be there, unfortunately, but I will be with you in spirit for sure. A church that waves its rainbow flag sends a powerful message to the community, a public proclamation to the LGBT community and to the community at large that all are welcome here, that all means all. But that kind of public statement wasn't always welcome or encouraged. There was a time not all that long ago when it wasn't safe for gay people to claim that identity. I know that I still sometimes wonder how safe it really is today. But back in the late 19th and early 20th century, gay people had to keep their identity a secret out of fear. So they would use bright colors to identify themselves to others in the gay community. It's known that Oscar Wilde used to wear a bright green carnation on his lapel until Richard Hitchens wrote a book called The Green Carnation and outed him, which was partly responsible for why he was put on trial for being gay. Young people here, can you even imagine a time when someone could be arrested and put on trial for being who they are? It's so hard for us to imagine today, really. And yet here in Idaho, our state constitution still does not include the words lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender in its Anti-Discrimination Act. So we still have a ways to go. We still need the rainbow. In Australia, it was the color yellow. Often yellow socks would be the symbol. And in Nazi Germany, pink triangles were used to identify the gay prisoners in the concentration camps, a symbol now reclaimed by the LGBT community, signifying a welcoming and safe space for all. The rainbow flag itself was created in the 70s, an early and significant symbol used by activists protesting the assassination of Harvey Milk in San Francisco. So even these playful symbols, these beautiful symbols of love that make us feel good, are also powerful symbols of values and ideas and issues important to us. What I like about the rainbow is that even as it is a vibrant symbol for the LGBT community, it also exudes a bit of playfulness and inherently honors that wide spectrum of diversity found both within the LGBT community and beyond, reminding each of us that we have something beautiful to contribute to this world. The rainbow, as you heard, is also used in a lot of Unitarian Universalist religious education curricula as a memory tool for our seven principles. Seven colors for seven principles. Sending, again, the implicit message about the beauty of difference and the beauty of diversity that we affirm and promote in our seven principles. And rainbows, very much like our seven principles, are somewhat aspirational. You see, I am a self-proclaimed rainbow chaser. I have been known to drop everything and drive out to find the end of the rainbow, to hunt for that elusive pot of gold. Because rainbows take us out of our current mindset and invite us into imagination and beauty, because when you are chasing a rainbow, you have to stop what you are doing right in the moment and start chasing before it disappears. You have to get lost in that imagination and in that beauty. Now, I have yet to find a pot of gold, but it hasn't stopped me from trying. But I wouldn't call my expeditions unsuccessful. In fact, they are very successful. Chasing rainbows gets me out of my head, out of the gray, dull, stuck parts of my life, where I find myself fixated on some challenge or difficulty. Spotting a rainbow turns that around, inviting me into fun and possibility. Because not only do you have to drop everything to chase a rainbow, but you have to believe. You have to believe, if only for a moment, that there is something at the end of that rainbow. Following a rainbow can allow you to see and experience the world in a new way. It's something of an exaggeration, an exercise of the mind to push us out of our own thinking, to push beyond what is possible and invite the nearly impossible. It's a technique I want to call trying on hyperbole. So when you hear the word hyperbole, you might think of it as an exaggeration or an embellishment to make a story more interesting or perhaps to garner more sympathy, or as an exercise of parenting in that I've told you a million times. That's a hyperbole example for you kids out there, which you can now turn on your parents when they use it with you. But if you look at the Greek root of hyperbole, you see that the meaning is to throw beyond. To throw beyond. Sort of similar to casting a vision, setting aside our understanding of what is and naming what ought to be. So there's a lot of trying on hyperbole that we can embrace as Unitarian Universalists seeking justice and transformation within ourselves, our community, and the world. It was wonderful to be at the Capitol on Friday for a rally for compassionate communities, a rally calling us together to call attention to the overwhelming violence we've experienced in this state recently, and to say, hold on a minute, we can do better. We must imagine something more. This is not who we are or who we want to be. We throw beyond. We cast visions of what can be. A vision of peace and love and connection. Perhaps a similar vision to the flower power of the 60s. The same kind of vision of equality and compassion embodied in the rainbow flag of the LGBT movement. We throw beyond a vision that says everyone, every human being deserves dignity and respect and fairness. We cast a vision that imagines a world where everyone has a home, an affordable, sustainable, green home like the ones we help to build with our plate partner, Habitat for Humanity. We cast a vision that says, this, too, is Idaho. And it's not up to us to just say the words, although that is important, but to live into them. And friends, living into our seven principles is a bit of a hyperbole. It is hard work. It can be hard to practice the promoting the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Even the mean ones. Even the ones we might be scared of. And the people we just don't like. It's not easy to tend to our own spiritual growth as a congregation and as individuals. It's not easy to live out our principles committed to the democratic process or our commitment to build a fair and peaceful world and protect our precious planet. It takes work. Like athletes who are training for the Olympics and even those who train for the great Roby Creek race up the mountain, we need to train ourselves to live out our seven principles every day. To throw beyond, to cast a vision of who we want to be and what change we wish to see in the world, and then train ourselves to bring that vision into reality. Train ourselves by doing something every day, one thing that fully promotes one of our principles. Train ourselves to become a community of compassion and diversity that celebrates all that we bring, all of our identities, affiliations, and beliefs. This rainbow altar behind me that we created together isn't merely a representation of natural beauty and color, but a powerful statement of the values of our faith. Pride in diversity. Our shared humanity, in building a world of justice and freedom and peace. Symbols of peace and love that call us to be a voice for change, to disturb the peace with beauty, to speak the truth to power, to be the prophets calling the world to account, to shatter the silence, to erase hate in all its forms. To be the rainbow chasers. Our collective humanity is at stake. May it be so.